Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Stalin would be proud. He would be proud of the Rockefeller Foundation's Reset the Table agenda to radically transform the food system, to imbue it with racial equity. He would be proud of Klaus Schwab over at the World Economic Forum joining forces with the United Nations and informing their World Food Systems Summit, which of course is heavily tied with Bill Gates, the man who just declared we should all be eating fake meat exclusively, even as he funds Impossible Foods, whose stated mission is to end animal agriculture. Yes, Joseph Stalin would be proud of these people, for it was he, after all, who, in the wake of a grains crisis in the late 1920s, used that as justification to do his own radical transformation of the Soviet food supply, to take total control over food production. And it was in the wake of that collectivization of farms that millions and millions of people died of starvation in the Holodomor. We need to talk about this today. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And I found this talk given by Joseph Stalin himself in May of 1928 when addressing the Institute of Red Professors and the Communist Academy, talking about a grains shortage, a grains crisis in the Soviet Union in 1928. In Stalin's own words, the way out of that crisis lies firstly in the transition from small, backward, and scattered peasant farms to amalgamated, large-scale socialized farms equipped with machinery and armed with scientific knowledge, capable of producing a maximum of grain for the market. Yes, the solution lies in the transition away from individual peasant farming and instead to collective socialized farming. And so in this statement, you can see that even he saw farms as dirty and antiquated, something we needed to do away with as we move to this new collectivism, but not a bad form of communism. This time it's going to be different. This time we're going to make communism work because we have science and technology and surveillance that we've never had before. This time is different. This time we'll make it work. The way out lies, secondly, continues Stalin, in expanding and strengthening the state farms and in organizing and developing new large-scale state farms. In other words, in taking control of the food supply. This was not empty rhetoric. Within the next 5 years after that talk, by 1934, 75% of the farms in the Soviet Union had been taken from the farmers, known as kulaks. They were just deported to remote regions of the Soviet Union, and their land was confiscated. And again, it was this which precipitated the massive food shortages known as the Holodomor, where millions and millions of people starved to death. An engineered food shortage. It turns out this is a tried and true method by communists as they take over a population. You can see it playing out now in South Africa, where, as you can read in this study, which I do recommend you read, Kill the Farmer, where the South African population was rapidly taken through the stages of genocide. First, we divide the population into blacks and whites, or Muslims and Croats and Serbs. Whatever balkanization of the population needs to happen is done. And then we gradually dehumanize part of the population, we take away their rights, we say they don't deserve those rights, and then ultimately we take their land and we kill them. Well, it's what happened in the Soviet Union with the kulaks, and it's what's happening in South Africa now. This study talks about how in the 90s, hate speech became fine. It became popular to release songs about kill the farmers, kill the whites, and as that happened, more and more people got killed. That's what happens when you talk about it in the mainstream media. That's what happens when Coca-Cola tells you to stop being white and all this anti-white propaganda going out in every medium imaginable. That's the quantitative result that it will have, is more white people getting killed. Just the study has it written out. The data is right there for you to look at. And it is culminating now. In the last few months, South Africa has actually passed legislation that legalizes the confiscation of land from white farmers and giving it to black farmers. It's pretty appalling what's happening there. And of course, it's having very real effects on the food production, just as it did when they kicked the kulaks off of the farms in the Soviet Union. Now, we have our own grains crisis happening globally this time. In fact, we've been talking about it for months, but as the world food supplies have dwindled, and usually the countries in the world that export most of the food and feed the rest of the planet have started to put limits on the amount of food they're exporting, now that's devolved even further into looking, these countries are out there looking to import food to feed their own people. Here, from AgriCensus, Ukraine, the ninth largest soybean producer in the world, is looking to import soybeans after local supplies dried up and domestic prices surged. And they've started to look towards the Brazilian crop, but that crop is stuck in the ground under heavy rains, which are keeping them from harvest. In Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, farmers have been unable to harvest their crops due to excessive precipitation in several growing areas. There may be a record crop, but it doesn't matter if it's stuck in the ground. And so all eyes have been on South America, but this is a continuing problem there. These rains are continuing right now. And as we head into March, what that means is because those soybeans are stuck in the ground, Brazil has been unable to plant what's called the saffron, their next corn crop. And that corn crop is losing a ton of yield every day that goes by that it's not in the ground. And some analysts have even started to peg the losses at 5 metric million tons of corn, which, given that Brazil's carryout last year was only 6.4, their ending stocks, the amount of corn that Brazil had was only 6.4, and they've already lost 5. So we're talking about they just wiped out 80% of their total corn ending stocks from last year. So this is a non-trivial blow to corn production, and it's especially a problem when you look at it in light of the fact that all eyes have been on Brazil and Argentina after US and China crop losses these last few years. So this is a cascading problem, it's a global problem, and it's this global grains crisis that is being used to justify, again, the radical transformation, just like Stalin, of the world food supply and its production. So again, against that backdrop, in the United States, the coronavirus stimulus bill that was just passed had $5 billion set aside for farmers' aid. But not for our farmers, just for black farmers. Now, I will say, obligatory at this point, I don't care what color your skin is. We all eat, and I think we should all be able to feed our families. If it's good, healthy, nutritious food, I don't even care where the food comes from or the color. I mean, it's just, it goes without saying, right? Race shouldn't enter into this equation unless it's by design, unless it's part of that divide and conquer, leading to the balkanization and eventually the elimination of parts of the population and justification to take over the food supply. That's what this is. The funds here have been set aside to pay off USDA loans to black farmers only. And not just to bail them out, not just to pay off. Never mind that all farmers have been struggling to make ends meet and trying to service their debt on their USDA loans. Now we're going to bail out just the black farmers. But not only that, we're going to give them 120%. So here, your loan is forgiven, and here's a little bit of extra money on the side because you're black. This is literally the same thing as reparations, but only for farmers here. And again, the point here is, for one, to crush the white farmers, just like the kulaks. Joseph Stalin would be proud. But also to aggravate, to pour vinegar in the wounds of racial division, to foment this racial division, and ultimately to stir up a race war. This is happening aggressively and rapidly. Tom Vilsack, the Biden-Harris new nominee there at the USDA, the new head there, has just appointed these gentlemen, including Dwayne Goldman, who is going to be the new senior advisor for racial equity to the Secretary of Agriculture. Now, I don't know why the USDA needs an advisor for racial equity, except that they're implementing exactly the racial equity the Rockefeller Foundation described in their Reset the Table agenda. Goldman, who previously worked at the tech department of Monsanto, which is now part of Bayer Crop Sciences, is being brought in explicitly to, in the words of Tom Vilsack, quote, accelerate a transformation of our food system. Same language as the Rockefeller Foundation. The same language as the UN World Food Systems Summit. The same language as the EU Farm to Fork, a new equitable, sustainable. It's all one integrated agenda. And that's why the unsavory characters at all of these agencies and think tanks and governments use those same keywords just to sort of wink at each other and say, yeah, this is, we're in on it. This is what we're doing. That begins, he continued, with embracing a call for racial justice and equity across food, agriculture, and rural America. The grains are running out, and we're promoting racial differences. It's not just being broadcast from the top of the USDA, it's also happening from the bottom up, where supermarkets are starting to put signs on their shelves like these, which indicate that some food products are created by black-owned companies or by Hispanic-owned companies. It's kind of funny that this is for Goya, who was supposed to be a bad guy when they supported Trump, but never mind. This is ridiculous. When I posted this to the Ice Age Farmer Telegram group, which is t.me/Ice Age Farmer, some people just said, this is, you know, this can't be real. This is lampoonish. I can't conceive of going to a supermarket and seeing the color of the skin of the people that put these products on the shelves. But here it is. I assure you, it is real, and it is going to expand. Here from supermarketnews.com, Giant Food to highlight minority-owned suppliers on their shelves. It is a pilot program which will be expanding in 2021 to all 164 of their stores. And that's just the beginning. Soon, it won't even be labels. It will be, you don't even get shelf space if you are white or if you're not using robotic automation on your farms, right? I've covered previously the USDA's newly proposed rule that says I need the GPS coordinates of every piece of lettuce harvested, and if you don't have that, you can't sell your product at our shelves. So this is not actually helping black farmers. It's eliminating white ones and then prescribing to the people that they are bailing out. You're going to use robots and farm bugs and do things our way. You don't actually have to take ownership like the Soviet Union did. You don't have to collectivize your farms if you just dictate exactly the conditions that it takes to get your product on the shelves. It's effectively the same thing, right? You are taking control over the food supply. So from the top, from the bottom, from the shelves, these racial things are being introduced. And it's not just a racial thing. Here is a new law that's being considered in Colorado, which literally criminalizes the animal husbandry practices that farmers and ranchers have been using since the dawn of time. You won't be able to mate your animals, you know, to breed the next generation of livestock anymore. There's now new restrictions on this. It's called the Protect Animals from Unnecessary Suffering and Exploitation. Again, it sounds great. All of these things sound really nice. You're going to own nothing but be happy, right? It's all very, they put a smiley face on communism these days. But I also wanted to point out, this literally says lamb and veal will be gone. It's illegal now. You have to wait until livestock are 25% of their natural livestock lifespan before you can slaughter them, which means it criminalizes lamb and veal. I just want to be very clear that you're witnessing a part of the end of animal agriculture. And if you look at this as disparate, weird things that are happening, well, that's weird they would bail out the black people. Well, that's weird that they would criminalize animal husbandry. Oh, it's weird that they would have fake... No. If these things seem odd to you, if they are not making sense to you, if they're just little disparate, odd happenings, then you need to change the lens through which you are viewing reality. You need to adjust your paradigm until you find the one that fits. And I'm telling you, the one that fits is this total takeover of food this making it illegal to farm and ranch because it's dirty and antiquated. You saw Stalin say in his own words, Joseph Stalin said, it's not peasant farms owned by people anymore. It's large-scale, state-owned, science and technology-driven farms. That's the future, collectivized farms. And that's why Bill Gates is talking about, I'm going to own it all, you're going to own nothing, and it's going to be fake meat, because communism will work better if we do it this time with science and technology. I'd also talk about the fact that they have just reclassified animal manure as a highly toxic industrial byproduct in Australia. Never mind, that's how we have fertilized our farms since the dawn of time. Now it's dirty and dangerous, and you can't use it as fertilizer, and you have to pay a premium to dispose of this industrial waste, because they will make it illegal or economically impossible, infeasible, to produce food the way we always have been. It's just like Obama said about the coal power plants. You can still open a coal power plant, but we're going to bankrupt you. It will be economically infeasible for you to farm the way you have been from here on forward. And when you look at the cast of characters behind the UN World Food System Summit, not only are there many links to directly to the finances of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but look at these people. Here's Francesco Branca, who was the World Health Organization's nutrition director, literally telling you, everything has to be reset. He was director of the nutrition and food safety at the World Health Organization, and now he says, everything has to be reset. We must have smaller amounts of land. We can't devastate land any longer. This is the biodiversity call. It has to do with the 30-30 plan to rewild and put land into conservation. Just stop farming. Stop. Just shut them down. Turn them into conservation places. We need to have much smaller amounts of meat on our table. We need to reset. Well, this sounds like it's going to change what you eat, isn't it? Not just the production. They're going to force you to change your diet. The answer is yes. Unambiguously, the Eat Lancet Commission comes out and tells you, yes, it's highly intervention-driven. Quote, the scale of change to the food system is not going to happen if we leave it up to individuals or the whim of consumer choice. This change requires reframing at the population and systemic level. Hard policy interventions like laws, fiscal measures, subsidies and penalties, trade reconfiguration, and other economic and structural measures, like making it illegal to harvest animals, like making it illegal to use manure for fertilizer. This is what they're talking about, and it's happening now. Another of these individuals, Yan Yi, is founder of the Good Food Fund, in seeking to understand food systems and their impact on the environment, right? This takeover of the food supply, like many things, is intimately tied with global warming and saving the planet. Another example of that is Cristiana Figueres, who's from Costa Rica. She has been very involved with the United Nations and the global warming propaganda and all of their programs there. But now she's going to join the board at Impossible Foods. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Again, if you look at it, it's just these disparate happenings and you try and why would they take some United Nations global warming person over to a food company? Well, because Impossible Foods' stated goal is to end animal agriculture. And that means playing off policymakers and regulatory pressures to make meat illegal. That's why she's working there. Because this is one integrated agenda. These unsavory cast of characters play multiple roles. They inform the Rockefeller Foundation. You can see many of these people are the authors of that agenda. They also work at the World Economic Forum or at media outlets or at companies. It's just, it's appalling. It's the same cast of characters. And we can go down the list of the three action tracks at the UN World Food System Summit and do this. Take them apart, see their interconnections. It becomes just so patently, blatantly, superficially obvious that these are people are perpetrating their agenda. But in the interest of time, we're going to stop here and just observe. Joseph Stalin would be proud of these people, but they're doing it bigger and better and faster than ever. And in the United States especially, we will be made an example of. We are now sitting at this confluence of the tried and tested communist takeover approaches. We're looking at a confluence of the Ukraine, the Soviet, Holodomor, mass starvation. We're looking at the race war, Rwanda style. We're looking at the Balkanization and breakup of the country, like Yugoslavia. We're looking at Weimar style hyperinflation of the dollar. And we're multiplying all of that by the United States technological total surveillance grid, Stasi style on steroids. I mean, all of these things multiplied by each other and then raised to the power of Uncle Sam doing things bigger and better, they're going to make some fireworks come out of the U.S. in the next few years. And I do not say this to be alarmist, or I mean, I would very much prefer to be wrong here, but I think it's pretty clear that all of these things are going. I mean, look at paying off black farmers only has nothing to do with helping anybody anywhere. This is again a tried and true way to destroy a population, is divide and conquer them. So I hope this has been insightful to see that what's going on here, it is not these weird, crazy things like, oh, these crazy leftists. No, these are a formula. This has been done many times before, and it's being done here faster and bigger and better than ever before. And if you have been confused by anything you see happening, then again, you need to adjust that lens, because it all makes perfect sense when you view it from the lens of what's actually going on right now, of this agenda, this total takeover, Agenda 2030, of all resources on the planet. And we need to be getting ready for that. You know, we need to be growing our own food and hoping that on the other side of this, we and our communities can rebuild. So thanks for listening, folks. You can find this report and all my reports on iceagefarmer.com. If you value this broadcast and the information that I bring, you can help me keep it running. There's a few ways of doing that listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. Thanks for watching, folks, and spread the word. Be well.